Come, Holy Sabbath, open our eyes, ears, and hearts. Break us open. Come, Holy Sabbath. Amen. Now, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is, perhaps, the end of the beginning. I know that we have many fans of history who will recognize that quote from Sir Winston Churchill. The theologian William Willimon said something like this: 90% of preachers within the first 2 minutes, in one way or another, tell the congregation that nothing dangerous will be said here today. 2 years ago, in an interview with a parish, someone asked me what I thought about preaching, and I said something like this: well, it's easy to throw hand grenades and destroy, and I don't believe in that. Neither am I called to toss out cotton candy into the congregation. It rots the soul from the inside. I'm called to meet you where you are, to know you, to be in relationship with you, and to care for you and your soul, and I am to preach God's word to invite you over the boundary of your comfort, one step at a time. So, this is as dangerous as my question gets. How did we get here? I mean that quite earnestly. How did we get here? All of American history runs through the life of this parish, founded informally from the time of Oglethorpe's troops' disembarkment just behind this church on the river, and formally as St. Paul's Church, incorporated by royal charter in 1750. It's simple enough to read history about what happened that made this nation the wealthiest on the planet. But what I want to ask all of you, my friends, whose souls I love and care for, how did we become desensitized to the point of accepting as normal, so as to make them invisible, the inhuman suffering and profound poverty of our neighbors? What kind of followers of the Prince of Peace are we right now? We cannot change the past. What kind of followers are we right now? And if only I could see your... God, how I wish I could see your faces right now. But if only I could see your faces right here, and the thought bubble like a cartoon over your head. We are such individualistic people that we think of absolutely everything. Everything we read and see through filters, spectacles of capital I individualism. I didn't do this. I didn't make these choices in the past. And whoever they aren't my problem. I've thought it before. And I also can hear Abel's brother, Cain, right now, speaking to God while his brother lay dead in a field. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I, John Jenkins? Am I my brother's and my sister's, my neighbor's keeper? And what can we say about this? Where do you and I go when we return to the heart of our religion? When we are hard pressed, what is the first and dearest meaning that you go to? To know the gospel. Our Lord and God, known in Jesus of Nazareth, proclaimed it this way, I believe. Love God. Love your neighbor. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. You know, Jesus loved everyone, even the religious leaders who frustrated him. Our biblical literacy, I'll just confess it in the Episcopal Church, but generally speaking, our biblical literacy is appalling. So we often find Jesus mystifying when we hear something that we just weren't accustomed to, that we weren't taught when we were in little Bible school. But Jesus' life speaks pretty clearly for itself once you learn a little bit about the cultural context. And only now and again does he stop and tell a story to flesh out the point for his followers. And he does it when his followers are having trouble taking off their own lenses and filters, when they have trouble seeing clearly that they have accepted as normal things that are not. Love God. Love yourself. Love your neighbor. How do you do that? How do we live that? It's not rhetorical. How do you live loving when it doesn't mean a sentimental feeling? If an anthropologist were to study your life or my life for a week or a month or a year, to go where I go and to watch the people I eat with and to watch what I buy and what I do with my resources, what story would they write about how my life has conformed to the faith I proclaim? How has it formed to the shape of Christ's life? I'm not condemning you or myself. I'm asking real soul-shaping questions. They are a little dangerous because they beg us into the field of confession, of truth-telling. They are questions so serious that they call for our engagement, our reflection, and a response. And thank God, we have a way to deal with our failings, those things done and left undone. But I will tell you this, I have come to believe more and more that absolution only covers those things that we actually confess. The liturgy is a gift. It's meant to teach us a pattern, a way to deal with our sins, our individual sins, and the ones that we are called to see right now. At the end of the beginning of this social renewal movement, we are called to see the capital S sin of the systems that we participate in. And you cannot change it alone, nor can I. But just because you cannot do everything never has meant you cannot do something. You and I, our community, have been given the gift of God's full acceptance. Accepted, loved, justified, as our patron saint Paul, we just heard in the reading from Romans. We were justified while we were in our sins. It applies as much then as it does today. We've been given healing by God's gift of the Holy Spirit. And I ask for what? To what end? For what did God anoint me in my baptism and you in yours? For what did God anoint us to follow the way of love that Jesus described this way? And I'm paraphrasing. If only we will try to trust Jesus' words and lean into them. Come to me, all of you. All of you who are exhausted and burdened with your way of living. Follow my way and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble and true, and your soul will know rest because my ways of love give life. They are light, and they are as light as a feather compared to the weight of the world's way. Does that sound ridiculous? Sarah thought it was. But is anything too wonderful for the Lord God? Was it too wonderful to raise the dead? Was it too wonderful to send apostles to share the good news to the ends of the earth? I'm fool enough to go. Are you? So my question again is, how can we go together? How can we bear one another in love and grace and capital T truth? How can we be apostles of healing right here in this parish? How can we go down to that mighty stream, the river of God's outpouring love, stand side by side, hand in hand, and squish our toes in the mud together to be outward and breathing signs of the Holy Spirit, healers, reconcilers, and even raisers of the dead, right here, right now. Amen.